worship you, Lord. You are greater. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Glorious in all of your ways, you make Lord, you deserve all praise, all worship, all adoration. You said the day is coming and now is. And those that worship you will worship you in spirit and in truth. Our capacity to do so is founded in the reality, O God, of the revelation of who you are to us. You said to the woman at the well, you worship what you know not. We cannot truly worship you if we don't know you. Not in the intensity of truth as we are. So, Lord God Almighty, reveal yourself to us. Show us your heart. Unveil the splendor of your person to us. As you did at the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. Let us behold you, that we may be changed into the same glory from glory to glory. Help us, Father, that having been transformed into that same glory, we will, with the intensity and fervency of your power, establish your purposes here in the earth as it is in heaven. You said, the works that I did, you shall do also, greater works. Father, do a mighty work in us, that our every waking moment, every conscious and unconscious moment, be a moment of worship, adoration, praise, a testimony to your goodness, the lives of your people. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you, saints. It's good to have you here this evening. We are quickly running out of days. Today is the 14th, so the next Bible study is the 22nd, and then the 29th, and that'll be it for the summer. But while we have this time, may we drink from the well of God's grace and his goodness. We're studying through the book of Proverbs. We're in the third chapter. We're not trying to rush anything. We want to milk as much as we can for our present benefit and our future benefit. I say future benefit because it is always wise to go through whatever it is that we've talked about again and again and again, because each time you go through it, you find out something new, something fresh that you may not have tapped into in previous experiences with the Word. So tonight we will experience the insight of God's wisdom together. Amen? So let us start from where we were. part of what we talked about last segment from Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 27. This verse is such a powerful verse. Because when you read the Word of God, you've got to see it from two perspectives. What is God saying to me? And then you've got to look at the other perspective of it. If God is saying to me, He's holding Himself to the same standard. Because God holds you and I to His standards. You say, what do you mean by that? The Word of God says, be ye holy because I'm holy. You have not so learned Christ. God's standard is not based on what is politically correct in our world. God's standard is His standard. He holds us to His standard. That's why the grace of righteousness is a gift of God. Our ability to do the will of God is not based on our ability, because none of us can do what God wants us to do in our strength or ability. Without me, you can do nothing. You have to abide in Him, and He abide in you. Amen? That's why, you know, as good as positive thinking is, positive thinking is not faith. Faith is way beyond positive thinking. Now, if you don't have faith, being positive is good. But I tell you what, the devil is more positive than you are. You have to be really, really positive to think that you're going to defeat God at any time. And after being thrown in the pit for 1,000 years, you come back still fighting, thinking you can still win. Come on. Don't tell me that's not being positive. But just believing that you can doesn't make you. You might end up being a can. Canned. Your ability is in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who empowers me. Your capacity to outlast the enemy is the capacity of God working in you. And that capacity is fueled by the joy of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you're going to make it as a believer, you've got to learn how to celebrate. The Word of God says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your empowerment is in that. So when God says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. It is a statement that is challenging. Because the Bible is making a statement, and the statement is a statement of total provision. So what do you mean by that? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due means that you must have something that you withhold in. In essence, God is saying, I don't intend for you to have an empty hand or an empty pocket. Wow. Don't let your natural mind kick in here and say, I don't know about that. No, this is God speaking. I don't intend for you to have an empty hand. I expect that when I bring somebody to you that has a need, that there will be a resource, whether it is directly from your hand to their hand, or you having contact with somebody who has what they need, information or whatever, that there is something already available to bring to them, even if it is a word of encouragement, if it is a word of prayer, a word, you know, just to, you know, say, I'm standing with you. Let's do this together. The first demonstrative miracle of the disciples was a statement like this: silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The man was still sitting down there, and they gave him a hand up. Praise the Lord. It wasn't money. It was a release of power. What I've got, I give you. You know, sometimes people break their heads to get an inheritance. And there's nothing wrong about that, because the word of God says a good man will leave an inheritance. But we make the mistake of thinking that an inheritance is only cash or property. No. An inheritance is a blessing. Things can come into your hand and go, can be spent, but the blessing will continually produce. The biggest and most effective legacy that you and I can leave to generations to come is the inheritance of the blessing. The blessing. The blessing will make you or break you. Don't we told what is due? When it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Let's flip that text. If this is a statement that God is making to us, who more than us has the power, the capacity, the resources to do what has been asked there but God? So I don't need anything. It's all mine. It's all mine. So when I come in prayer asking, I can come with confidence, recognizing that God says that I should not withhold good from them that to whom it is due. When I come in prayer, I am coming as one who has a need. And he has a power in his hand to do it. Hallelujah. So I must not come trembling, thinking I'm not going to receive. I come with a mindset, there's no way I'm not going to receive. Because God is not lacking. He can even take a grain of sand and make a whole planet. The whole earth is like a drop of water. All of this, with all the wealth in it, all of it. Every time I'm challenged with obstacles, I drop back and I say, this is not in my power to do this. But you've got all the power to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you can. And there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over that church. Because we have a revelation of who the Christ is. Hallelujah. And remember what I shared with you about the Christ being the Messiah, and the Messiah is the one who came to be a servant. And God, in that statement, that revelation to Peter in Matthew 16, was saying the gates of hell will not prevail over the church that knows the power of service. You have the power, and you're doing it. You're doing what is within your power to do. Hallelujah. God says to us, serve. Do you know that God is the greatest servant? What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is this, that every time you pray and your prayer got answered, God served you. Your salvation was based on Jesus Christ becoming a servant. Every time God does anything, he does it out of the spirit of humility. Huh? He has to humble himself even to look at the things in the heavens. Wow. So the most humble is God himself. And it is a grace of humility that causes us to serve. When we do not withhold good to whom it is due, we are serving. Praise the Lord. Let me do something here that I wasn't intending to do, but there's a passage of scripture that I want to look at real quick. I did not come to this part of the passage last Sunday. When I was teaching us about offenses. But watch this. Luke 17. The Lord, O Shandirebo Sakayatai. I'm going to read you this. And I'm going to make a comment. In Luke 17, it says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the apostle said unto him, Do what? Increase our faith. Notice that statement. Okay? This is a part that I did not go to last Sunday. And the Lord said, if ye had faith, notice he's moved from offenses, and now he's talking about faith. And remember that the Word of God says, faith worketh by love. Galatians 5. Yeah? So we're talking about offenses, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, whatever. Now we're talking faith. And then he says, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, forget about having lots of faith. All you need is mustard seed faith. That's the smallest seed. Ye might say unto this sycamine tree, and we talked about the sycamine tree, remember? And the root system of the sycamine tree. This tree, on the surface, the roots can go, 50, 70 feet away from the main trunk. And it can have a root that goes about 100 feet down on the ground. So uprooting a sycamine tree is no little chore. And what is God saying? It's going to take faith to uproot it. But it's not big faith. It's little faith. Trust in God. And you're asking this question now, I know. What does this have to do with what we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 3? I'm coming. Just hold your horses. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, watch this now, but which of you having a servant, watch that word, servant. But which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle? Remember, we're just talking about faith. Yes? We'll say unto him, by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. Get ready. You've done whatever outside job that needed to be done. Now I need to eat. Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. What is he talking about? He's talking about faith. Faith being my servant. Faith serves you. In working out there, I'm working for your good. You see, if you have a servant, and servant has gone and worked very hard out there and comes home, do you say to the servant, oh, go and rest a while? He says, no. You say to the servant, get me my food. I need my lasagna right now. Is that what you say? And the idea is, until you are satisfied, faith cannot rest. But faith is not going to work if you don't have love. If you have offenses, faith is not going to work for you. And it is love that causes you to minister to people who have a need, whose need need to be met. Love. He said, "Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not." In other words, I don't think so. Faith works for you. And God is saying to us, I need for you to minister. Faith works for you, but that faith is operational in you. And what God is saying, remember, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the idea let me put it this way. You're in a restaurant. You've placed your order, and the food has been served. Your water is there. The waiter or the waitress doesn't come back to check on you to see if everything is okay. What do you say about that waiter? It's a good waiter, waitress? Yeah. What kind of a restaurant is this? Well, it is good that, you know, in a top-notch restaurant, that they don't keep on coming and disturbing your discussion. But a good waiter in a high-class restaurant is there, and you think he's not looking, he's looking. He's watching. He's watching your glass. He's watching everything. As soon as your water is dropping, there they are. Sing. They're reading you. The same thing with faith that's in us. Take care of what is due. Now, but watch out to make sure that you have a satisfied customer. What does this do for me as a businessman? It means, as a businessman, I understand that me finishing the job and getting paid is not the end of the story. That I can call in and check, how are you enjoying the job, the product? You know, the world does it. I go to a place and I buy something, and before you know it, I'm getting a text to find out, you know, people like Amazon will do stuff like that. How did we do? Walmart would do it. How do we do as a church? In checking. A good shepherd will check on the state of his flock. And as God's people, that is what is due them, proper service. Let me put it this way. What do we call this, what we're doing now? It's a church what? It's a church what? A church service. Because it's a service. God is about service. God wants me to serve him, and God wants to serve me. I am in him, and he's in me. So he says to us in John 15, I think it's around verse 6 or 7, something like that. He says, ask. Because you are in me and I'm in you, ask. Ask what? So what happens? So I can serve you. Can you get me that verse? John 15, 6 or 7, something like that. Let me look for it. Got it? Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what? You will. And it shall be done unto you. Because I abide in you and you abide in me. So while you're serving me, I'm positioned to serve you. John 4. He's asking the Samaritan woman for water. And he says to her, if you knew who it is that's asking you, you will be asking me. Huh? That is very good. I didn't even finish this sentence. The verse was up. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, the gift of God, who is this gift? The Messiah, the Christ, the servant, the Son. And who it is that said to thee, give to me to drink, thou would have asked of him, the me that is asking the you. And the you would have asked the me that's asking the you, and would have given. The water will be there, and it will be everlasting water, living water. God, in partnership with men, not because he needs us, but because he wants to infuse us with himself. Hallelujah. When it is in your power to do it, I want to say, God, let it always be in my power to do it. Hallelujah. That is part of my likeness to God. Is somebody listening? Let's go back to the passage. We're not trying to rush. I don't care if we just finish one verse that we've been going on since last week. In fact, if we go at it next week, there'll be deeper dimensions of what we're talking about. Withhold not good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Withhold not good. From them to whom it is due. The word good is the word tobe. It's the same word that we find in Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant, or how good, tobe, pleasant. It is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The greatest good that we can offer each other is love, unity. Remember God saying in Genesis, when the people were trying to build a tower, he says, these people are united and nothing shall be impossible. They're going to succeed. Our ultimate effectiveness is founded on the bedrock of unity. Before man was created, we see the unity of God. When he said, let us make man in our what? Image and what? Likeness. He didn't say, let us make man in our images and our likenesses. No. God is what? One. And they were in one place, in one accord. Unity. You know the reason why the church is so powerless today? We don't know unity. Everybody doing their own thing. We see somebody doing something. We want to do the same thing to compete with them. And as long as that's what you're doing, a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. I want to be the leader. And what we've got from that point on is disunity. Because I will sabotage you so that you're not. We'll become crabby. You put one crab inside a basin, and the crab will get out. You put two in the basin. Don't cover it. When you come back 5 hours later, they will still be there. Why? As soon as one is trying to climb out, the other one is dragging it down. Crabby people will never get ahead. People who operate in the spirit of unity find themselves moving on. And so what does the enemy think he must do? Instead of bringing goodness and pleasant stuff, doesn't do that. Don't withhold good. Don't withhold love. Don't withhold that which has to do with unity, because it is in the place where unity is that the God's commanded blessings are bestowed. From Mount Hermon, the water runs down to the Jordan. And to the Jordan, it goes to the Galilee. And from there, it ends up in the Dead Sea. Hermon gives to Jordan. Jordan gives to Galilee. Galilee gives to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea gives to nobody. And it is dead. No fish there. So part of God's end time plan is to heal the waters of the Dead Sea. so that it begins to generate fish, life. Now, the Dead Sea is wealthy. There's lots of wealth there, lots of minerals. Interestingly enough, you cannot drown in the Dead Sea. Maybe there's a good story about that, but nonetheless, let's leave that one alone for another day. Well, the Word of God goes and says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come tomorrow, and I'll give to you tomorrow. Tomorrow. Let's go. But you have it in your hand. What's that? That's control. That's manipulation. Or personulation. You say, what's personulation? Oh, they don't want man anymore, so it's got to be person. So let's get woke together. Personulation. I wonder what they will do with menstruation. Oh, this I don't know how people think. They want to get rid of man from everything. Everything, just get rid of man. Make it person this. Childbearing persons, no longer women. Get rid of female. I don't know. Anyway, let's leave that alone. Was that the Spirit of the Lord? Just Don't say to your neighbor. Somebody asked the Lord, who is my neighbor? And the Lord told his story. The story of the Good Samaritan. There is a man that's walking, minding his business, and he's jumped by these robbers. They beat him up. They take his stuff. They left him bleeding and dying. And here comes a priest, sees him, and kept on going. Well, of course, he had his reason. Maybe he's dead, and I'm going to church, I'm going to the synagogue, I'm going to the temple. I should not touch a dead body and be defiled by it. And goes on his way. Here comes a Levite, sees a guy, goes on the other side of the road. And here comes a Samaritan. The Samaritan sees the guy, comes off his horse, puts the man on his horse or donkey or mule or whatever, and takes him to an inn. They get to the inn, and he pays the bill. And he says, I'm going to be coming back, and when I come back, if there's any further incurement, I'll take care of it. Remember what we said at close to the beginning. It's not just about what you do now, but watching out like a waiter to make sure that the situation is resolved. Amen? For example, this was not planned or anything like that, but it has to be how it is. A dear sister had hurt herself, and had prayed for her with Sunday evening. So when I came in today, I asked, how is it? It's getting better, but still pain there. I asked because I have to follow up. Amen? I have to follow up. So I ministered to her again, still in pain. Then I laid hands and prayed and asked. I said, it's getting better. I said, okay, that's good. That's what we want, getting better. Continue to receive your healing. Guess what? I will still check, because it is following up. You understand? Following up. Is the need met? Are you happy with what you're getting? It's not enough for me to say, I did my best and I ministered. I still need to call, check. How's your family doing? How is this going? How's your marriage? How are your children? How is your business? How is your job? How's your boss? How is your family doing? As a son, the other day, since your boss passed away, how are the children handling the business? They're not part of my church, but he is. If the business is not doing okay, his job may be threatened. So I have to pray for that business so that he does well, they do well, everybody does well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it behooves us to keep on working. What we need to do. That's your neighbor. Jesus told this story. And what's the bottom line? Everyone that has a need that you are aware of is your neighbor. My neighbor is a person that has a need that I'm aware of. Somebody that I have the privilege and honor to serve, to do something for, to help. If I cannot, I cannot. But then I have other options. Pray. Believe. Stand in faith. If somebody comes and asks me for $1 million right now, where am I going to get it from? Other than talk to the Father who has it. And say, God, I don't know how you're going to meet this need, but I know you're well able to meet this need. And if there's anything that I need to know to help, grant me the grace to know it. I'm being a good neighbor now teaching. If I give you half the truth of the Word of God, I'm not a good neighbor. If I tell you everything is just fine and I didn't talk about how offenses will sabotage the will of God in your life, and I just prophesy this, prophesy that, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. That's not going to help nobody. The whole counsel of the Word of God helps. Me spending this 1 hour talking about one verse, or two verses in this case, it's not to waste your time. It's to invest the wisdom of God inside of you. And by so doing, you help me as I help you. You be in God and God will be in you. And together in partnership we'll accomplish the purposes of God. Because the commanded blessings of God bring us into a place of unification, united. Don't say, come tomorrow and I'll give, when thou hast it by thee. You have it by you. Don't tell them to come tomorrow. What is the idea? It's incredible. The idea is this. God is saying, I who provided what you have with you now, I can provide it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Am I saying act foolishly? Give everything away? No. I'm saying act wisely in faith by releasing from your hand with the spirit of discernment and direction and guidance of the Lord what God has given you the capacity to have. Knowing this, that He is a God who multiplies your seed sown. He'll multiply it. He will guide your steps. He will connect you with the right people. Something I've learned and I've experienced is that when God wants to do something, He'll move all the chips and align everything properly. If I need something, for example, right now I'm asking different people to help with different things that we need to accomplish a particular thing. The Lord will connect me with whoever it is in that company that has the capacity and the power to do it. If I don't connect with the right person as soon as I step in, I know nothing is coming out of this place. But wherever it is that God wants me to, He has ordained and directed me to go, not where I sat down and thought, maybe I should go to this place. Maybe I should go to this place never pans out. I found out. I never meet the person that I need to meet. But where the Holy Spirit leads me, oh, go here. I go there. Guess who's coming out the door? The GM is coming out the door. And I can talk directly to the GM. Here's the boss, here's the person who has the final say, and say, this is what I need, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we'll take care of it. Or I meet somebody who has the ear of the GM. And I say, you pass the right word, I'm on your side, I'm going to talk his ears off, whatever. Until you get what you want. God will direct your path. But if you are not busy helping to take care of other people, watch this. This is where we're going to wrap for this evening. As you mete out to others, so shall it also be mete out to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men
bring into your bosom. Question. What was that verse talking about? From the pulpit, all we've heard about is about giving money. Yeah? But guess what the context of it was? Forgiveness. Ah. Yeah. Now, that does not undermine the spiritual principle of giving of your finances and it being multiplied and men bringing into your bosom. But Jesus went to the foundation of what will deny you everything else. Because give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our what? Trespasses, and we forgive not, we shall not be forgiven. Yeah? He gives us the Lord's Prayer. And after he ends with the amen, he goes back and says, for if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. In Mark 11, he says, if you have faith, the God kind of faith, you shall say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. And if you stand praying, believe that you've received it and you shall have it. But he says this next. If you don't forgive, the key to answered prayers is forgiveness. The key to giving is love. And there cannot be any true giving if there is bitterness. Forgiveness is for giving. Can you type that for me, please? Forgiveness is for, F-O-R, given, G-I-V-I-N-G. For is related to the other. For this, this iPad is for her. Giving is for her, for him. And giving put the for and the giving on the same line, but separate. Thank you, that's perfect. I want you to see it. That in forgiveness is that word, those two words, for giving. Because without forgiveness, you are not going to give. Which means you're not going to give to the person that it is due. And if you have not received forgiveness or have not tapped into the forgiveness that God has given to you, you will never be open to receive from God. The greatest distraction or distractor from receiving from God is you thinking God doesn't love you or you are not worthy of receiving.
If you come to God and ask Him for that which He's given to you, which is His love and His mercy, His goodness, and you receive it, and you receive the righteousness that is given to you, the holiness that is given to you, because the Bible tells us that a new man is created in true holiness and righteousness. You receive it. And as soon as you do that, your story changes. But it's in acknowledging that God is right. So, as a wrap for this evening, I basically just went through what we went through last week without repeating myself, basically. We need to press a reset button and recognize that the God who's asking us to do the right thing is more than capable of doing the same thing rightly towards me. So when I go to pray today, I can quote Proverbs 3 and 27 and 28 and say, God, you said in your word that if I have the power to do the right thing, bring good and pleasant things into the life of somebody, not to withhold my hand and not to say, come tomorrow. Because I have the ability in the now to do it. I'm asking you, my Father, I come under the grace of that word. And I ask today, I have a need. There is something that is due. And I know that you have the capacity, you have the ability, you have the power, you have all the resources to meet this need in my life right now. And you're not going to say to me, go tomorrow, when it's in your power to do it now. So I come to God, the God of the now. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. And I step past the place of hope to the place of manifestation. Do for me what no man can do for me today. Address every need in my life according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I receive. And if there be anything in my life that is sabotaging your perfect will for my life, Father, root it out. If there's unforgiveness in my life, root it out. If there's bitterness in my life, root it out. Whatever is causing a problem, root it out and make room for the manifestation of your perfect will in my life. I receive my miracle. I receive my answered prayers now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I guess I was praying the sample prayer, but it was a prayer. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. It's a joy to serve you. And next week we'll go deeper yet and hear what God has to say to us. Praise God. This time let us honor God with our giving. His word says that He multiplies our seed sown. Our giving must be based on faith. Our giving must be based on faith. You know what I found out? When you obey God in your giving, and just follow His direction, the enemy has nothing to hold on to accuse you. And you can always come boldly. I remember there was a time that my offering, the minimum was $5. And then it was 20 in any service. Then it was 50 in any service. Didn't matter. Then it was 100 in any service. And I look forward to the day when my minimum offering will be $1,000 for any service. It doesn't matter whether there were 20 services. Every service. Then I look forward to when it will be 10,000 in any service. And you know what? It will be no different from how I felt when it was $5. Because as it goes on, God will continue to multiply the seed. So I believe in tithing. But I don't go by tithing. Because tithing was the minimum God was asking. And He said, with that, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out my blessings on you. I encourage you to find out where God wants you. And He will bless you, He will enlarge you, He will increase you, He will do for you what no man can. Amen? Just trust Him. There's no limit to what God can do when it comes to your giving. He has a love handle to hold on to lift you up higher and higher and higher. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I challenge you to give. I'm not asking you to give and I don't give. Anything God wants is His. And I know that He has more of it.